All right, we're starting here on the top of Vava Med Aleph by the Mishnah. Mishnah says, "Hamicha neis ma'ot." The person is pulling together money. Va'amar, and he says about this money, "Harielu l'shikli." These are for my shekel. Bet Shammai omrim motran nidava. Leftovers go to nidava. They go to the box in the mikdash where they take money to put karbonot on the mizbeach. Karbonot olah on the mizbeach when it's idle. Bet Hillel omrim motran chulin. The leftovers are chulin. So when you say Hare Elu, and with the Gemara we'll discuss more in detail the language that's being used. So the language that he's using is, these will be for my shekel. When he says these will be for my shekel, does he really have in mind just the amount that is sufficient to cover his shekel? Or does he have in mind basically all of these are shekel? And then he figures out that there's more than he needs there. And then the excess is going to go as a donation to the Mikdash. She'avit mehen shikli. Then if he says, I will bring my shekel from amongst these items, then shavin. Everybody agrees, shamotar chulin. The excess is chulin because there he's clear. He only wants to get up to the level or the value of a shekel. Eilu l'chatati, if he says that these are for my chatat, equivalent to the lashon that he said above about eilu l'shikmi, then again, shavin, everybody agrees shamotar nidava, that everything in excess is a nidava, and we'll see why in a second, why there should be a difference between a chatat and a shekel. Shavi mehen chatati, that from amongst these I will bring my chatat, shavin shamotar chulin, that the excess is chulin, similar to it is by a shekel. Amar Rabbi Shimon, ma ben shkalim lechatat. So what's the difference? Why when you say harei elu l'shikli, do we say the motar is chulin according to Beit Hillel? Whereas when I say harei elu lechatati, the excess goes to nitava. Why is there that difference? So Rabbi Shimon explains, because ela shel shkalim yesh lahem kitzva, shkalim have a fixed amount. A chatzi shekel is a fixed level, and it doesn't change. Whereas, with a chatat, in la kitzva, there is no limit to how much you can spend on a chatat. A chatat can be any price, both on the low side and on the upper side, and therefore when a person designates the money, he doesn't have a specific price in mind, he has in mind that these monies will go towards the chatat. Yehuda Omer, that's not so true. Af l'shkalim ein lahen kitzva. Even shkalim have no limit to them. Kishalalu Yisrael min ha-gola, when they came out from the gola back to Eretz Yisrael when they built the second Beit HaMikdash, hayu shoklim darko note. They used to give darko note. Darko note are large coins. We saw them in the previous Mishnah where he consolidated his shkalim onto darko note. Over here it might be that these darko notes are silver darko note as opposed to the one in the previous Mishnah were gold darko note because they could hold more value on them. But the darkon here, it's a machloket between the Ramban and the Rambam as to the value of a darkon. The Rambam says that a darkon is 2 sela, whereas the Ramban says it's the value of 1.5 sela. It's in excess of the half shekel min haTorah. So that's what they used to give. Chazru lishko, after a period of time, they switched and they started to give in a sela. So they either granted the Rambam as half or 2/3 according to the Ramban. They gave a sela. Chazru lishkol tiv'in. And then as they continued on, they started to give in tiv'in, which are shkalim. Bo lishkol dinarim. Then they wanted to move over onto dinarim. Velo kiblu mehem. And they didn't accept them, whether lo kiblu mehem is part of the Mishnah or not, but assuming it is, lo kiblu mehem, they did not accept them. So what you have here is a process over time by which the chatzi shekel, the value is going down. I mean, the coin that they're using, the value of that coin is going down. Question is why? There's a machloket here in the Rishonim about why. The Ramban, the Raivud, and many of the other Rishonim believe that what happened was when they first came back to Eretz Yisrael, the number of people that were there was limited. And the funds they needed for the Mikdash were a lot. So if you put those two together, you need to give a bigger half shekel. You need to give more money to run the Mikdash. As the population grew and they were able to fund the Mikdash rather than the burden being on a smaller number of people, they were able to diminish the coin. What they did was they took down the chatzi shekel, but they got to a point they wanted to take it down to dinarim because they had enough money. But that's below the value of a chatzi shekel. Because if you look here, we start out with these darkonot, which are either a 2 sela or 1.5 sela. They moved down to a sela. The sela of the Mishnah is equivalent to a shekel hakodesh. So they moved down to a shekel hakodesh. Then they moved down to tivin. Tivin is a shekel of the Mishnah, which is equivalent to a chatzi shekel of kodesh. Then they tried to move down to dinarim. Sela is made up of 4 dinarim. Then they moved down to a dinar, it'd be half of a shekel of the Mishnah, or a half of a half shekel of the Torah, quarter shekel. So that's why they stopped it and said no more. That's according to those Rishonim. Other Rishonim, the Rambam, the Meiri, have an opinion that it was dependent on the coin of the time. Meaning that they gave a half shekel from the going currency. What was the most popular coin at the time? Today in Israel it would be a shekel, in America it would be a dollar, in London would be the pound. You gave a half of the going currency in that place. And that's what was happening here. The currency was changing. And the currency changing caused them to change what the chatzi shekel was. But then it came to a point where they hit levels that would take them below the value of a chatzi shekel min haTorah. So those are the two views amongst the Rishonim as to what happened over here. Amar Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Shimon says, back to Rabbi Huda, you're right that the chatzi shekel does not have a fixed value. Afal pikein yad kulan shaveh. Only rule is that everybody has to give equally. That the rule is not about a chatzi shekel has to be a chatzi shekel. The rule is that whatever you set the value at, everybody has an equal hand in what they give. And so the chatzi shekel is a minimum shiur about the value. But other than that, the only rule is everybody's equal. But if everybody's equal, then there is a fixed amount or a value that you can associate it with. Aval chatat, by a chatat, ze mevi b'sela, ze mevi shtayim, ze mevi shalosh. It doesn't matter. You can have three different people bring a chatat, and they're all different prices. There's no fixed value to a chatat. One guy can bring a skinny one, and one can bring a fat one. It doesn't matter. There's no way to set that value, as opposed to by the shkalim. Right now, the Gemara, HaMechanes. Rabbi Yosei b'shem Rabbi Elazar. So you have a fourth generation of Moro, the name of Rabbi Elazar ben Pedat. Second generation of Mora, Ma Pligin. Where is the machloket between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel? So he says, the machloket is b'mechanes protrot. That's when he's picking up prutot. Prutot are these small copper coins. It's like pennies or agurot. That's when they argue. Aval b'omer elu, that's probably the gear that should be. Our Gemara's all have elu l'shikli. Kol ama modi, meaning that it's equivalent of kuli alma. Everybody agrees. Everything is in the dava. So the difference being between if he has a bundle of coins or money and he says elu l'shikli, then everybody agrees that the whole pile is kodesh and whatever goes to the shekel goes to the shekel, the rest goes to the dava. On the other hand, if you're collecting prutot, when you're collecting prutot along the way, then your idea in your head is that once I hit the level of the shekel, that's where I end my value, and that whatever's in excess of that is not for nedava. And that's where their machloket is. That's machloket Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai. That's what it sounds like. The difference is with the accumulation of coins over time versus saying that this pile here is for my shekel. Correct. Now, Rabbi, and probably the girsa for the Yisham, Rabbi Chizkiah, the Rabbi Bevai, b'shem Rabbi Elazar. So here you have another, Rabbi Chizkiah is a fourth generation of Mora, then Rabbi Bevai, who's a third generation, the name of Rabbi Elazar ben Pedat. So you have a different Mesorah in the name of Rabbi Elazar ben Pedat here. Maplegin, what's their argument about? B'mechanes, protrot. When they're collecting up the coins, the small coins. Aval, b'mor elu, he says elu, or in our girsa it's elu l'shikli. That the excess is chulin. So he says that the machloket is when you're picking up the small coins, that's where they have the machloket. But when you have a fixed amount there and you say, these are for my shekel, everybody agrees that just up to the amount that you need is a shekel, the excess is chulin. So here you have machloket in Rabbi Lazar as to where the machloket Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai is. Amar Rabbi Chizkiah, Matnita Misayei the Rabbi Bevai. So Rabbi Chizkiah just quoted this, the name of Rabbi Bevai, in the name of Rabbi Elazar. He says, our Mishnah supports this latter position. Why? It's not. Our Mishnah says, Amar Rabbi Shimon, Ma ben Shkalim lechatat. What's the difference between Shekel and a Chatat? Ela, Shashkalim, Yeshlem Kitzva. Shekel has a fixed amount, a limited amount. Chatat ain't like kitzva. It has no limit. It has no fixed price. Ma anan kayamin. Ma anan kayamin is, what's the case? Hey, he dummy. Where is this case that Rabbi Shimon is speaking about? Where do you make this distinction between a chatat and a shekel? Im be'omer, if it's when he says, she'avi mehen shikli, that I will bring my shekel from amongst them, kolam amodei shemotran chulin. Everybody agreed that that was chulin in our Mishnah. Avi mehen chatati and avi mehen shikli had the same din, which was whatever money you needed was kodesh, whatever money was in excess was chulin. So that can't be where Rabbi Shimon's making the distinction between chatat and shekel. It's a case where he says, I'll bring from amongst them my shekel. Everybody agrees that's chulin. If it's a case where he says, I'll bring from amongst them my chatat, everybody says, it's a chulin. Ela kein anan kayamin. It must be that this is what Rabbi Shimon is speaking about. What's the case he's speaking about? Be'omer elu. It's a case of elu, because those are the cases that are discussed in the Mishnah. You have a case of Avi, and you have a case of Elu in the Mishnah. In the case of Avi, the din is the same. So that can't be where he's drawing the distinction. In the case of Elu, that's where we saw the difference. So, Ve'omer Elu, Shkalim. When it comes to Shkalim, Ayidei Shekitzvatan Mina Torah. Since their value is set by the Torah, meaning that there are fixed amounts Mina Torah, Motran L'chulin. Therefore, the excess goes to Chulin. Chatat, Ayidei She'en Kitzvatan Mina Torah. And then chatat, since they are not a fixed value in a Torah, motran, nidava. So then the excess is nidava. So that would support the understanding that we just had from Rabbi Piskia and the name Rabbi Bevai, the name of Rabbi Elazar, that the machlok between Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai is in protrot, when you're collecting protrot. But when you say Harei Elu, everybody agrees. And that's based on Rabbi Shimon's position in the Mishnah that everybody would agree because he makes that distinction between Shekel and Chatat. So obviously not talking about the case of Avi because there the din's the same. The distinction is only in the case of Elu. And there you see that everybody's agreeing with this position. So Ma Avada Rabbi Yosef B'Shem Rabbi Elazar. So what is Rabbi Yosef in the name of Rabbi Elazar, the first opinion that we had in the name of Rabbi Elazar ben Bedat, what is he going to do with the Mishnah? It's a strong position against the way he is quoting Rabbi Elazar. It says, Pater la, he's going to explain it, be mechanes protrot, ukebeit hilal. That the case that Rabbi Shimon is speaking about is a case where you're collecting up small coins, and it's only like beit hilal. I mean, Rabbi Shimon's opinion is not the kuleyama. Rabbi Shimon, when he makes that distinction between the chatat and shekel, he's not going to explain both beit hilal and beit shemai's opinion. He's coming to only explain beit hilal in a case where you're collecting up the small coins. So therefore, that explanation will work in that case. Because in that case, when you're collecting up the small coins, he said that Ma Pligin, where do they argue? They argue with Mechanes Protrot. That's the argument between Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai. And that argument, Beit Hillel will say that Shekel is different than Chatat. Since Shekel is different than Chatat, that's what Rabbi Shimon is explaining. Explaining Beit Hillel's position within Mechanes Protrot, when you're collecting up these small coins, why do they have a difference between the din in a shekel and a din in a chatat? What's the difference? Well, one has a fixed amount, one doesn't have a fixed amount. And that's what Rabbi Shimon is explaining in our Mishnah. Now, the Gemara challenges this position again. V'ha tanina. Don't we have a Mishnah? The Mishnah is on Amud Bet, the top of Amud Bet, which is Mutar Shkalim Chulin. The leftovers of the Shkalim are Chulin. So what's the case here when you say motar shkalim chulin? It sounds like that any motar, any leftover of the shkalim is going to be chulin. So where's that case that's kuliyama? The Mishnah doesn't say this is Beit Hillel, this is Beit Shammai. It says that any excess over the shkalim is chulin. So according to Rabbi Bevai, that's easy to explain. That's both Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai. But according to the way that Rabbi Yossi explained it, there's no kuleyama that shkalim or chulin. Where's that kuleyama? So he says, patala, bichmechanes protrot ubeit hilal. Gives the same answer again, which is, he's bringing it together protrot and like beit hilal, meaning that the upcoming Mishnah is not divrei hakol. The upcoming Mishnah is a liba de beit hilal. And it's a case where they're collecting up small number of coins. That's when motar shkalim are chulin. Right now, we'll skip the parentheses and then move on. It says, hamafrish shiklo. He takes out a shekel. V'savar shu chayav, thinking that he still owes the machatzita shekel. So he took out money, assuming that he was chayav. V'nimsa sheinu chayav. And then he figures out, whoops, I paid already. I don't need to have it. Lo kadash. It's not kodesh because it's hektesh bita'ut. Hektesh bita'ut is machlok beit hilel and beit shammai. But we pass from like beit hilel that hektesh bita'ut lo shmei hektesh. It's not hektesh. Therefore, you can take it. It's kulin. You made a mistake. Hamafrish shnayim, savar shu chayav shnayim. He takes out the two coins, two machatzita shekel, and he thinks he's chayav two. For whatever reason, he thinks he's chayav two. V'nimtza sheinu chayav ela achat. And then he figures out that he's only chayav one. Oto hasheni ma'at avide. What do you do with that second coin? What's the din of that second coin? Now, as far as the Girsa is concerned, there's a big difference between what we have printed in our Gemaras and what's found in the Yushalmi. What's printed in our Gemaras connects this statement with the following statement, and it was added in later. And the addition that's added in is clearly a Bavel or Babylonian type of language. It's a language that's pulled from the Babli, and it creates a transition between this statement and the next statement, which is basically, we ask a question, and by connecting them, he's saying that the next statement is the answer to that question, which is Nishmana min hada. Let us hear from here, which is like Shma Mina. Come and hear a proof from this or from the solution here. That's the way the addition or the way that our versions read. In the original Yushami, those three words are not there. And the question is actually posed like this, which is Kasavur Shuchayav Vinimsa Shainu Chayav. When you have the case of two coins, he thought he was Chayav two and turns out he's Chayav one. Do we say Kasavur that is Chayav Vinimsa Shainu Chayav, like the first case which is wrong? Is that similar to the case where he takes out a coin thinking he's Chayav and he's not Chayav? And therefore it goes out and school in. Oh, is it similar to Ba'omer Elu? Is it similar to the case in the Mishnah where he says Elu, and when he says Elu, everything is Kodesh, and it doesn't matter that you're in excess. So the question of the Gemara is, are both coins Kodesh? Like the previous cases where he said Elu, and Elu would incorporate all the money, even though it was in excess of the shekel. Or is only one coin Kodesh, because it's similar to the case that we just brought down, which is when you make a mistake, you're not Magdish, the excess money. And then the Gemara leaves it without answering it. Very classic Yerushalmi, which is they don't answer it. But the way we have the Girsa in the Gemara is, no, that the next statement answers it. Nishmana min hada, hifrish chatato, v'savash hu chayav. Takes off a chatat thing is chayav, v'nimtza sheinu chayav, and he finds out he's not chayav. Lo kodesha. There, the animal's not kodesh. Hektesh bitaut, similar to the case of the shekel. Hifrish shtayim, takes out two, v'savash hu chayav shtayim, thinking that he's chayav two. V'nimtza sheinu chayav alachat, and now he finds out that he's only chayav one. Oto shnia, that second one. So now everybody's in a bind with the girsa. So oto shnia, if you connect the two cases, then we should have an answer to this case. Because how could you have a question about the second case, then it's not a proof to the case by shekel if the chatat also doesn't have a solution. So therefore the girsa's changed to oto shnia roa. We skip the next five words. It's oto shnia roa. Goes out to graze. So hachinami, elu nidava. So that would be the same din by shekel, which is those go to nidava. If by the chatat, the excess chatat, the second chatat goes out to graze, and then the money is sold, and the money is used to pay for the nidava, so to the shekel will go directly to nidava. So you'd have to change the gears around. The way the original Yerushalmi read was, that otoshnia ma'at avada. What do you do with this second one? And the question is again the same, which is, is it Kishu Chayav Nimsa Sheinu Chayav? Is the case here similar to the case where he took out one and finds out he's not Chayav and goes to Chulin? Or is it similar to the case in our Mishnah of Elu, where he has money in excess of what he needs, but the excess is Kodesh, because he said Elu, and that's the same thing here by the two. Is the two just mean that it's two discrete items, I have one and one, and therefore since I don't need the second one, it's Chulin? Or is it, I just brought too much value here, I brought two animals, it's too much value? And when I have too much value, the part goes to Chatat, the remainder goes to Nidava. That's the question. So the way the Yushami's original Lashon worked was, they asked a question by Shekel, and they asked a question by Chatat, and they don't have an answer to either of them. Whereas, the way we have an argument is now it connects the Chatat to answer the question of the Shekel. And then, the last line here, which everybody wipes out is, V'ho eich oto omerata edu. Or do you say over here Elu, which is a mess up. Everybody else has to eliminate it from the Girsa, because it makes no sense here. Whereas, in the original Yushami language, this is lifted out of it, which is the equivalent of Omer Elu, which is where he said Elu would be the other side of the Safek. Right? So we're not going to read it because it doesn't fit, but just give you the two versions of the way the Gemara looked. But because it's basically a mix of the two versions, you have a problem in the Girsaot that are obviously being eliminated here.
When you say the original, what is
that they have from the Yushami, of just plain Yushamis. They have Kitveyad, and that's what it looks like inside of it. The later Yushamis of Shkalim that are found together with the Bavli Gemaros are put together with different views and additions. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Darkonot, these Darkonot are Dinarim. Now Dinarim is clearly not, because we know in the Mishnah that Dinarim are much smaller than Darkonot, but it must be that we're talking about Dinarei Zahav. Remember, gold Dinarim, that's what the Darkonot are. Chazru Dusko Slaim, so what's a Sela? Kishmuan, like their name. A Sela is a Sela, the Sela of a Mishnah, which is a shekel of Kodesh. Chazru l'shkol tiv'in. What does it say tiv'in? Palgei slayin is half a sela. Half a sela is the equivalent of a shekel of the Mishnah or a machatzit shekel of the Torah. Bikshu l'shkol dinarim. What are dinarim? So the gears that we have in our Gemara is kratin, although the original probably was kortin, but it comes from the word quarter, because a dinar is a quarter of a sela. It's 1/4 of a sela, and that is v'lo kiblu melehen min hada. They did not accept it based on this pasuk, This pasuk that's found in the Nehemiah, which says, "Ve'madnu aleinu mitzvot, latet aleinu shlishit hashekel b'shana labudat beit elokeinu." So here they're using the word "ve'madnu" instead of "we established," but "ve'madnu" we stopped at this level, which is to give a third of a shekel. Now the shekel that they're referring to here is the shekel of the darkon, that coin of the darkon. They gave one third of it per year to be for the avodat elokeinu. Now according to the Ramban, where the darkon was 1.5 sela, then a third of 1.5 sela is a half sela, or the equivalent of a machatzita shekel. Half a sela is a shekel of the Mishnah, which is a chatzi shekel of the Torah. So they actually got it back to a chatzi shekel. According to the Rambam, who says that a darkon is 2 sela, then a third of the 2 sela turns out that you have 1.25 of a chatzi shekel, basically. You have a little excess over that chatzi shekel. Now that could be to deal with the problem of the purity of the silver, that as the time went on, the purity of the silver used in the coins had diminished, and therefore they wanted to give an excess, or that's what they were doing, they were just giving a little bit in excess. According to Rambam, a little in excess of the chatzi shekel based on this, the shlishita shekel. Now, the Gemara has a little bit of an agadic run on this pasuk here of the shlishita shekel, which is Rabbi Chilkia b'shem Rabbi Acha, these are fourth generation of Moraim, Mikan shetzarich adam lishalesh shiklo gimel pa'amim b'shana. From here we learn out that you have to give your shekel 3 times a year. Now they learn that out because of the word that's used here. Instead of the pasuk of using shlish shekel, which would be a third of a shekel like we read it, it says shlishit, which is like shloshet, 3 times. So you have to give your shekel 3 times a year. We have that for a different reason. We do that minhag on Erev Purim, we give the 3 chatzi shekel because it says truma 3 times. We saw that earlier on Daf Bet. It says 3 times truma, the word in the parsha of Shkalim. But over here, they suggest that you have to give it 3 times a year. So the 3 times a year, this is against the Bavli. The Bavli in Baba Batra says the minimum amount of tzedakah that you have to give in a year is 1/3 of a shekel. So they're assuming that shlishita shekel was once a year. They gave shlishita shekel. That's in Baba Batra, Daf Tet. But over here, the Gemara is saying, no, when they gave shlishita shekel, they gave that 3 times a year. So they ended up giving a full shekel in the end. And so therefore, going to the Shami, the minimum per year is actually 3 times what the Bavli says the minimum per year is. Now, another agada, Mizmikan, Shema Chichino Tzibur Yoter Mishloshet Pamim Vashana. That we don't bother the Tzibur, we don't have to collect from the Tzibur more than 3 times a year. You only get 3 times a year to make an appeal. You cannot exceed 3 times a year in making an appeal. Amar Rabbi Avin, a 5th generation Amora, Mikan, the Gimel Sa'in, Mikan, the Shalosh Kupot, Mikan, the Gimel Afrashot. Here, what they're speaking about is, later on, the Mishnayot and Perek Gimel describe the procedures for taking the Machatzita Shekel and allocating them. How they did it was, they took 3 baskets, each basket held 3 Sa'im, and they did it 3 times a year. Why does this number 3 keep coming up? Why is 3 a recurring theme within Shkalim? It's all because of this pasuk, which is Lishloshet. Since it's Lishloshet, that's what makes them do everything in threes or numbers of threes because of the pasuk from Nehemiah. Tiv, the pasuk says, Zeit nu kolo vera pikudim. So this is the pasuk by the Machatzita Shekel, which is Zeit nu kolo vera pikudim, Machatzita Shekel, Shekel HaKodesh, Esrim Geira Shekel, Machatzita Shekel, Truma Lashem. Based on that pasuk, we have a machloket here. Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Nehemiah, machloket Tanaim. Chanamar lefisha chatu b'machatzita yom. Since they sin it halfway through the day is by the ego. By the ego it says ki boshesh Moshe lavo. Moshe delayed, tarried in coming back. But the Chazal Darshan of boshesh is that b'shesh at noontime. He passed noontime, and then they sin by the ego. So since they sinned at noontime, halfway through the day, yitnu machatzita shekel. Therefore they give a half shekel relating to the noontime halfway through the day. V'charana amar, so in the Yerushalmi, it shouldn't be chad again, in the Yerushalmi it should be v'charana, which means the other one says, the fi, shechat'u b'sheish sha'ot v'yom, since they sin at the 6th hour of the day, yitnu machatzita shekel, should give half a shekel, da'avad shita garmasin, which has the same value as 6 garmasim. 3 garmasim equal a dinar. A dinar is equal to 3 garmasim. So 6 garmasim are 2 dinarim, or the equivalent of machatzita shekel. Now, Rabbi Yeshua Beribi Nehemiah. So Rabbi Yeshua Nehemiah, 4th generation of Moran, the shame. Now we have Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, which is almost impossible. There's no way that a 4th generation Amora is quoting something from a first generation Tana, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. It's just not plausible that he would be quoting something with such distance in time. So what the suggestion here is that the original Lashon was Rabbi Chanan ben Pazi, who is a third generation Amor in Eretz Yisrael. But you can see how it got messed up, because if you have Rabbi Chanan ben Pazi, then you can see how someone messed it up and made it into Yochanan ben Zakkai. Could easily see how those letters could get mixed up, or the person didn't recognize him, because he doesn't appear so often in the Yushalmi. He appears in the Midrashim. This Chanan ben Pazi, but not in the Yushalmi so often. Therefore, maybe that's what got changed to Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, but it's clearly a problematic here, so over here. The fish of Ru, al-Aseret Dibrot. Since they violated the Aseret Dibrot, yenotain, then he should give, kol echad v'chad asara geira. And each individual has to give 10 geira. And we just read the Pasuk. The Pasuk said that the machatzit shekel, that is based on esrim geira ha-shekel. 20 geira equal a shekel. So 10 geira would be half a shekel. So that's why we give 10 geira, because they violated the Aseret HaDibrot. Where did they violate the Aseret HaDibrot? Well, they violated the first two of the Dibrot, which is Anochi and Lo Yelecha. So either the assumption is, based on the Midrashim say this, well, if they already violated the fundamentals of the faith, then obviously they violated everything else. And they actually did violate the other 8 of the Dibrot. Others suggest that the violation of the fundamentals of the faith basically nullifies the Aseret HaDibrot, as if they don't exist, because there's no more relationship between you and God. And that's what it means they violated the Aseret HaDibrot, literally, but in a figurative sense, by being kofir by Ikar, they violated the Aseret HaDibrot, and that's why we give Asara Gera. Now, Rabbi Brechia, Rabbi Levi, B'Shem, Rabbi Shim ben Lakish. So here we have a fourth generation Amora according Rabbi Levi, a third generation Amora according Reish Lakish, the second generation Amora. The fee, Shemachu b'chora shel Rachel be'esrim kasef. Since they sell the oldest of Rachel by 20 kasef, that's by Mechirat Yosef, they take in 20 shekel kasef for selling him. Yeah, kol echad v'chad boded b'no b'choro. Therefore, each person has redeemed their oldest child be'esrim kasef with 20 kasef. Now the Torah says that you redeem your child with 5 shekel HaKodesh. So 5 shekel HaKodesh is equivalent in the Mishnaic times to 5 sela. And each sela is 4 dinarei kesef. Equals 4 coins that are dinarei kesef. So I take 5 times 4 is 20 dinarei kesef. And that's what he's referring to here. The 20 dinarei kesef equal what the Pidjana Bechor is. Rabbi Pinchas b'shem Rabbi Levi. On the other hand, Rabbi Pinchas says the name Rabbi Levi. The fish machruk b'chora shel Rachel b'esrim kesef. Since they sold the eldest of Rachel by 20 kesef, and each one of the brothers got a shekel. How many brothers are involved in the sale? 10 of the brothers are involved in the sale. Binyamin's at home. Yosef's the one sold. So the remaining brothers are 10. If I take the 20 kesef that they got, that means that each individual got 2 shekel kesef, 2 dinari. 2 dinari kesef is the equivalent of a machatzita shekel. So therefore, since each one of them got a shekel, tiva is a shekel of the Mishnah, which is a machatzita shekel of the Torah, that's why everybody pays a shekel of the Mishnah towards machatzita shekel to rectify that sale. All right, next Mishnah. This is the Mishnah that we quoted in the flow of the Gemara before, which is motar shkalim lechulin. Motar, the excess shkalim go to chulin. How you read this, whether it's divrei akol or not, will depend on the machloket we saw before. According to Rabbi Bevai, quoted Rabbi Lazar, in that case, this is the divrei akol. Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai agree to this. On the other hand, according to the first Lashon that we brought down in Rabbi Lazar from Rabbi Yose, this is only according to Beit Hillel, because Beit Shammai never has a case where it's motar and chulin. Never has a case where the excess is chulin. Okay, motar asrita ifa, motar kinei zavim, kinei zavot, v'kinei yoldot, chataot v'ashamot. So in all of these cases, these are obligatory karbanot that are being brought, whether it's the birds for a zav, a zavah, the birds of a yoledet, or the chataot, or ashamot that you're bringing. Motran nidava. The excess goes to nidava. If you put together excess money, we have excess money for these karbanot, the excess goes to nidava, goes to yolot, alamizbeah. Zeklau. Here's the principle. Ko, shuhuba, the shame, or the shum chatat, u the shum ashma. Anything that comes for a chatat or a sham in those categories, motran nidava. The excess goes to nidava. So what's interesting over here is that the truth is by the kinin, you're dealing with a case where the birds are one's an olah and one is a chatat. Nevertheless, because they both come together in a pool of money, the assumption is that the excess money belongs to the chatat. We're going to go to chumrah and it's going to go to lintava. On the other hand, we have here motar olah. The excess of an olah goes to olah. And then motar mincha, the excess of mincha goes towards a mincha. Motar shlamim, the excess of a shlamim goes to a shlamim. Motar a pesach, the excess of a pesach goes to shlamim. We know that from our previous mesechta. Mutar nizirim b'nizirim. In a case where they collected money to put together to help the nizirim pay for their karbanot, whether they were aniyim, they were poor, or for whatever reason they couldn't afford their karbanot, so they put up a collection to collect for numerous nizirim. If they have excess of that, then the mutar goes to other nizirim, they keep it in the pool. Whereas mutar nazir, if an individual separated out money to pay for his karbanot as a nazir, then the excess is l'nidava. The excess goes to nidava. Right now, let's see inside the Gemara what they say about this Mishnah. Amar Rabbi Yosei, it's possible here that the Girsa probably should be Rabbi Asi rather than Rabbi Yosi, that Ad Da'ana Taman, when I was still over there, meaning that I was still in Bavel, Shema'it Kal Rabbi Yehuda She'al L'Shmuel. I heard Rabbi Yehuda ask Shmuel. Now we know that Rabbi Yehuda is a Talmud of Rav and Shmuel. He's a second generation Amora in Bavel. So I heard Rabbi Yehuda posing this question to Shmuel. Hefrish yiklo umet. He separates out his makasid shekel and then he dies. Amarlei, Shmuel responds to Rabbi Yehuda and says he plu b'nidava. He goes to nidava, that makasid shekel that he separated out goes to nidava. So now we have Motar Sivret Shelo, Biochanan Amar Yolichim Le Yama Melech. Biochanan says they go to Yama Melech, means you have to be destroyed them, you have to get rid of them. Rabbi Lazar Amar Yiplun Nidava. They fall to Nidava. Right now, what's clear here is that we can't be talking about the same Asirita Eifa that we're talking about in our Mishnah. So the difference is what the answer is going to be. There are different times that the Asirita Eifa is brought as a Chatat. The Asirita Eifa can be brought as a Chatat when you bring a Karban Ole V'Yored. Karban Ole V'Yored is a Karban that's determined by your ability to pay. And the lowest level on that payment scheme is a mincha, which is a minchat choteh. So that's one possibility. There's also another mincha that's brought every day in the Mikdash, which is called the minchat chavitin. The Kohen Gadol brings a mincha every day, twice a day, once in the morning, once in the afternoon. And any Kohen that goes into service for the first time brings a similar mincha, which is a minchat chavitin. So those are different types of minachot that are brought in the Mikdash. The problem with the mincha of the Kohen Gadol and the Kohen is that they're not really chataot, as opposed to the chatat of Yolei V'Yored, which is a chatat for a sin. The chatat of the Kohen Gadol and the Kohen who's going to service is not a chatat in the classic sense of a sin. It's a chatat, which is a putting you into service. It's a cleansing. It's a starting process. Although Rashi says in the Bavli comments to answer that problem, he says, well, the Torah calls it a chatat. Even though it's not for chataim, nevertheless, it is called a chatat. Question that's being posed here is, this mincha that you're bringing, the mincha of the Kohen Gadol or the mincha of the Kohen, what's the din? V'yochanan says you throw it into Yam HaMelech. Belazar says he plu b'nadava if you have excess. So Mara says, matnita pligal Rabbi Yochanan. Our Mishnah is a problem for Rabbi Yochanan. Motar shkalim chulin. Motar asrit haifa. Motar kinei zavim, kinei zavot. Motar kinei yoldot, chatot v'shemot. Motran nidava. The excess is nidava. What they're after there is the motar asrit haifa is l'nidava. That supports Rabbi Elazar. So ma avadah Rabbi Yochanan. What's Rabbi Yochanan going to do with our Mishnah versus his opinion? Or shel Israel. We're talking about a minchat choteh of Israel. The Mishnah is talking about a minchat choteh of a karban olev yored, and therefore the excess goes in l'ndava, because it's the equivalent of a chatat. What I'm talking about here is the minchat chavitin of the Kohen Gadol. There it goes the Yam HaMelech. Rabbi Yochanan Amar. Al Adali. That's probably what the gear should be. Al Adali. Abba Bar Ba, or Abba Bar Abba, when he came up, when he made Aliyah, he brought this along with him. So he's coming from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael. Abba Bar Abba is identified as Avua de Shmuel, father of Shmuel. Father of Shmuel is a transitional generation between the Tanaim and Amoraim. So he's quasi Tana, quasi Amora. So Avua de Shmuel was going from Bavel up to Eretz Yisrael. He went up to Eretz Yisrael. Dinun Amrin, those in Bavel say, how do you know that a Pesach changes to a Shlamim? So, right, we had a whole Masechta and Pesachim that tells us that when a Pesach changes to Shlem Shlamim, how do we know that happens? Talmud Omar, the Pasuk says, "Be'im min atzon karbano lezevach Shlamim." If he brings from the tzon for his korban lezevach Shlamim. And there we had a machloket between Rashi and Tosafot as to what they're darshening over here. Are they darshening the im min tzon, means from all the tzon? That's what they're darshening, or Tosafot says that it's excess lashon. It was unnecessary here because it says imin ason, and then it says imin kavasim, imin aizim. And it goes in less, all the things that are tzon. So why do you have to tell me tzon if you're about to list out kavasim and izim anyway, which we know is tzon. So it's excess lashon. So for whatever reason, this is considered to be excess, and if it's excess, we have to darshen it. Kol shumin tzon bashlamim. Everything that comes from the tzon will be shlamim. And the carbon of Pesach comes from tzon, because you can bring carbon Pesach from kvasim and izim, and therefore it's traded like a shlamim. So, hey, Tivun, I answered him, meaning that I questioned that. Hare, olah min atzon. And olah also comes from the tzon. You can bring an olah from a kvasim or izim as well. That's the first two parshiot in Sefer Vayikra. So he answered back to Varshinu ba ela min atzon. Something that comes only from tzon, yatzat olah shehi ba afilu min abakar. So I want something that only comes from tzon. So we know that the carbon pesach only comes from tzon and not bakar. It can only be kvasim and izim, not bakar. And olah can come kvasim, izim, or bakar. So that's why we got rid of olah. So, hey, Vitibun. Again, I answered him. Answering means I questioned him. This is Rabbi Yochanan questioning Abu Ad Shmuel about this drusha of the Babylonians. It says, Are Asham. What about an Asham? An Asham also only comes from tzon. So now we have an answer here. Amar Rabbi Bon Bar Kehano. So it's not answered by Abu Ad Shmuel, but by an Amora, an Eretz Yisrael, third generation Amora. Min Hatzon. When it says Min Hatzon, Davar Shuba Mikol Hatzon. Something that comes from tzon. It's Asham. Sherinu Ba Ela Min. So our girsa in our Gemara is min ha'elim, whereas the other girsa in the Gemara is min ha'kvasim, that it comes from the kvasim. Either way, the point of the question is that when it comes to a asham, an asham comes from only a portion of the tzon. It doesn't come from all tzon. It only comes from kvasim. It only comes from sheep. It does not come from goats. And that's because the ashamot are either an ayo is a two-year-old sheep, like a ram, or it comes from a keves. A keves is when you have certain of the ashamot. The asham nazir comes from a keves bachnata. So it comes from a lamb. But it only comes from that category. So either elim is the word that's used here, because elim, most ashamot come from elim, and that's why they said it this way. Or it means kvasim, because all ashamot only come from kvasim. They don't come from izim. And so the answer is, they only come from one part of the tzon. They don't come, yes, all ashamot are tzon, but they're only a subset of tzon, which is kvasim. On the other hand, Pesach comes from any tzon. It could come from kvasim, izim, and obviously it only can be a year old. It has to be bachnata, but so that it has, which is limitation. But that's the tzon, or here can refer to a Pesach, and that's the answer. B'cholatar atamar, so now they question this whole drusha. Cholatar atamar min l'mayet. Everywhere else in Shas, the word min is a mute. V'kan atamar min l'rabot. So here you say min atzon, all of a sudden it comes to include the Pesach. Whereas everywhere else in Shas, when you say min, when you say from amongst or from, you say that it's a mute. So how come here you're darshing it as a riboy, as an inclusionary term, where every else in Shas you could darshing it as an exclusionary term? So Amar Rabbi Mano. Rabbi Mano answers and says, Hachanami min l'mayet. Over here too, min is becoming to be mayet. Miut she'enu ba ben shtei shanim. Miut she'enu ba nekeva. It is a miut because it's a miut about the Pesach. Pesach come from Zecharim, and it doesn't come when it's 2 years old, only when it's 1 year old. So therefore, what the Gemara is suggesting over here is that min hatzon is limited. It's not all tzon in the sense that, yes, the Korban Pesach comes from any type of tzon, but it doesn't come from any tzon, meaning that there's an age limit, there's a gender limit. There is some limitations here. So the min is limiting over here because it's a limitation within the Korban Pesach. Now, in terms of whether we include the next line in the Gemara is questionable. The older Yerushalmis do not have this in the Girsa, but here it says, by Gabei Hasham, Nami, min lamayetu. By Hasham also, the word min is lamayetu, she'enu ba'ela min ha'ilim bilvad. Only comes from the ilim. Again, the problem with that is that's not true. There are certain Hashemot, like the Hashem Nazir, that comes from the kvasim. The majority of Hashemot come from an ayo. So that's what they could say, the min by the Hasham is coming to exclude. Whether you keep it in the Girsa or not really depends. According to our Gemara, you keep it in, because the Gemara said before, why do we exclude Hashemot? Because they come from the ilim. So then this statement would be true. Whereas, according to the original verse of the Yushami, that would claim before it says, the Hashem's out because it comes min ha-kvasim, then this line is not true, because Hashemot come from the kvasim as well. They don't just come from Eilim. Depends whether you look at Hashem being most Hashemot or Eilim, and therefore we associate it with Ayo, or there are some that come from kvasim, and therefore this line would not be relevant. Alright, hey Tivun. He says, then we answered him, meaning that we continue to question, v'aktiv, v'im min ha-tzon karbano, min ha-kvasim, o min ha-izim le'olah. Hey, what about this pasuk? We have a pasuk that sounds just like it does by the Shlamim, which says, Imin Atzon Karbano, Mina Karasim Mina Izim, Le Ola. Instead of ending with the word Shlamim, it ends with the word Ola. So tell me now, Me'ata Motai Pesach Ba'Ola? So now what are you going to tell me, that X says Pesach is an Ola? It's the exact same pasuk by Ola as you have by Shlamim. If you're going to dash Min Atzon to be Pesach, then why is Motai Pesach Shlamim? It should be an Ola. So Amar Rabbi Abon, Ishanin, Davar Shula Achila, the Davar Shula Achila. It's very simple. You want to change a Pesach, which is normally eaten, into some other karban that is eaten. That's a shlamim. We're not going to change a Pesach that's meant for eating. Now, meant for eating, we know by the Pesach, that's an ikar part of the Pesach, is the eating of the Pesach. The vashenu la'achilah to an olah, that's not la'achilah. So that's a distinction. Amar Rabbi Yossi b'Rabbi Bon. So Rabbi Yossi, the son of Rabbi Bon, says, Mishanin kodashim kalim, l'shem kodashim kalim. You switch lighter kodashim, meaning shlamim is a kodashim kalim, a lighter form of kodashim, and so is a Pesach. So you change the Pesach into a shlamim. Ein mishanim kodashim kalim. You're not going to change something that's kodashim kalim, the Pesach, l'shem kodashim kodashim, to something that's a higher level, kudashat the old ah. So those are the answers as to why we darshan the pasuk by shlamim, and we do not darshan the pasuk by olot. Okay, now we have a similar type of discussion with Rabbi Yochanan. Before, it was Rabbi Yochanan with the father of Shmuel, that they got a memra from Babel, and then Rabbi Yochanan questions it, and then we have these series of the Gemara. Now we have Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Alad Ali, Rabbi Chanina. When Rabbi Chanina came up to Eretz Yisrael, Dinu Namrim, he says, that they say, meaning the people in Babel say, Ein a Pesach mishtaneh l'shem shlamim, Elohim kein shachato l'shem shlamim. Pesach doesn't turn into a shlamim unless you shecht it l'shem shlamim, for a shlamim. V'ani Omer, Rabbi Yochanan disagrees with them and says, I say, afilu shachato l'shem olah. Even if he shechts it l'shem olah, it also becomes a shlamim. Now here, we know this from the last Masechta that we learned in Pesachim, that a Korban HaPesach after Pesach, it doesn't need Hakirat HaShem. It automatically becomes a Shlamim, because after Pesach, it's no longer valid as a Pesach, assuming that it's not needed for Pesach Sheni. And therefore, it's not valid for Pesach, it automatically becomes a Shlamim. Question is, prior to Pesach. Prior to Pesach, if you have something designated as a Pesach, and now you're going to check that not an Erev Pesach, what do you have to do to be Oker the Shem? If you Oker the Shem, do you have to say now specifically it's L'Shlamim, and then it becomes a Shlamim? Or, as long as you change it from being a Pesach, that's enough to make it into a Shlamim. The people in Babel say you have to change it to a Shlamim. Rabbi Yochanan disagrees and says, even if you change it to an Olah, it becomes a Shlamim. That's sufficient in changing it. So now, Amar Rabbi Elah, which is, they call him Rabbi Eli, Taima de Rabbi Yochanan. What's the reasoning behind Rabbi Yochanan's position? Im min hatzon karbano lezevach shlamim. So they learn out of the pasuk of Im min hatzon that we darshan before. Im min hatzon karbano lezevach shlamim, kol shu zevach ba de shlamim. Because it says there, Im min hatzon karbano lezevach, the way he's darshan the word zevach, anything you make into a zevach becomes a shlamim. So as long as you make it into another korban, that's sufficient to make it into a shlamim. Now, the Gemara asks a question, which is, again, the Girsa here makes a difference, but the way we should understand is really, what happens if you have a machshava that makes it psul? Is that enough to change it into a shlamim? Or do you actually have to have a kosher machshava? Because what he just said here, it doesn't matter what machshava you have, as long as the machshava is zevach, that's enough. Whatever you have a machshava that makes it psul, is that called the zevach, and therefore it's good? So, heich avido, heich idami. What's the case you're thinking of? Shachata l'shem olah. He shechted it l'shem olah. Amanat lizrog dama l'machar. With the intent of putting the blood on the mizbech machar, which is pigul. So he shechted it l'shem olah, plus he had a machshavah pigul. Rabbi Yochanan answers back to him, basically, makom makom pasuhu. What does it make a difference? Why does it make a difference whether now it's a shlamim or it's pasul? Meaning that nothing matters anymore because it's pigul. Pigul is pasul no matter what. Your question, in a sense, is irrelevant because the outcome is the same in either case. You don't have a good karban. And he says, no, im teimar, he says, I'll tell you what the nafkamina is. The nafkamina is in teimar. So I will tell you, there's a difference to reading this, but whether we have in our girsa and the way the Yerushalmi has it in their girsa. I'll read it the way that the Yerushalmi has it. And then you could see that the opposite would be true by the Bavli, which is im tomar, if you say that mishtaneh, but the way we have in our Gemara is l'machshev psul, so that's why the Bavli reads it this way. But the real meaning of l'machshev psul means b'machshev psul. Means that if you tell me that machshev psul can change the animal into a kosher shlamim, then you have a case of pigul. Because we have a ruling when it comes to pigul, you have to be karev matzirav. The rest of the animal has to be brought in a totally kosher manner. In order for an animal to be pigul, then everything else has to be done right.
So Rabbi Yochanan, if you think that a machsheve psul is good enough to change the animal into a shlamim, then over here, the changing of the animal to a shlamim means that karev matiraf. Everything else was done right, and you have machsheve pigol, you have pigol on your hands. On the other hand, in Teimar, ein mishtaneh l'machsheve psul, or again, the way the Rishonim means, it means b'machsheve psul. If you don't change it with machsheve psul, then it's pasul. It's pasul because machsheve psul ruined the animal. The animal never changed over to being a shlamim. So they never changed over to a shlamim. You have another problem in the karban besides pigul. You have another problem in the karban besides pigul. It's not karev matirav, and therefore it's not pigul. So that's the way you would read it according to Yerushalmi. According to the Bible, it would be the opposite because l'machshevet, what do you mean? To something that's pasul. And then if you change to something that's pasul, then it is pasul. Because pasul with the pigul makes it pasul. On the other hand, if you ain't mishtaneh the machshevet psul, but doesn't make it pasul, then it would be pigul because it would be fine. It depends which way you read it, but this outcome is the same, which is, if machshevet psul is good enough to make it into a shlamim and not ruin it, then you have a pigul on your hands. It doesn't work, then you don't have pigul on your hands because you have another psul in the korban. Lishmo, shelo lishmo. What happens if he brings the Korban Pesach, lishmo, and shelo lishmo? B'shar yimot ha-shana. The rest of the year, I mean, not on Erev Pesach. So on Erev Pesach, a Pesach is bizmano, has to be brought lishmo. It has to be brought the shame Pesach. And if you bring it shelo lishem Pesach, it's actually pasul. But now we're talking about a Pesach the rest of the year. So Pesach the rest of the year is supposed to be lishlamim. So lishmo and lishmo lishmo actually reverses. That means that you're bringing it lishmo, lishem, shlamim. Shlo lishmo means that you're bringing it lishem, pesach. So what happens if he does lishmo and shlo lishmo? B'shar yimot ha-shana. The rest of the year. Rabbi Bon Bar Chia. Rabbi Avon Bar Chia was a third generation Amora. B'shem Shmuel Bar Abba. Name Shmuel Bar Abba was also a third generation Amora. David Shem lo shem naseh kishochato b'shtika. Leave out the words lishmo, shlo lishmo, those are excess. The grua drops them out, as well as the old Yerushalmi doesn't have them there. Which is, mikan, she'en lo shame. Since it is no status, naseh kishochato b'shtika. It's the equivalent of shechting it without saying anything, v'hu kasher, and therefore it is kasher. Because over here, had he said nothing, he would have been, the default is that this animal should be a shlamim. So the default is it's a shlamim, it's a vidah shtika. Now, since the animal has no name, the animal is not a shlamim, because it was a Pesach, but it's also not a Pesach, because it's not Erev Pesach. So since it's in this twilight zone, therefore lishmo and shlo lishmo really have no impact. So he says it, l'shem shlamim, that's a good makshava. The shlo lishmo makshava, it's as if he said nothing. We just ignore it, because since it doesn't have a full status of a Pesach or a shlamim, the shlo lishmo is irrelevant. And so we ignore it. And since we ignore it, the korban is kasher. Or the other way to read it is that the Shmo and the Lo Lishmo offset each other. And so we dump the man as if he had nothing in mind. If he does nothing in mind, it's kasher. Samarlei, vim kain, hu afilu shachato lishmo. If what you're saying is correct, then what about the case where he shechs at the Shmo? Amanat lizrug damo shalo lishmo. But he has a makshava about the zrika da dam shalo lishmo. Yaseh misa rishonak shachato lishmo, vil shalo lishmo. So in that case, it should be as if in the beginning he's shechting it lishmo, b'shelo lishmo, v'yei kasher, and it should be kasher. I mean, what's the difference between whether in the makshava of shechita he has lishmo and shelo lishmo, and you're telling me that's kasher, versus if he has a makshava by the shechita lishmo and the zrika shelo lishmo, why is that any different? It should be as if he had the both makshavot in the shechita, and you said it's kasher, so this case should be kasher, and we know that's not the case. If you shech the shlishmo by shkita, shlishmo by zrika, that is pasul. And we know that's not the case. And therefore the Gemara leaves it as unresolved or a question that we can't necessarily say that. Because if you say it's kasher in the case where you have lishmo and shlishmo in shkita, then what are you going to do with this next din, which is you would have to extrapolate to the next din, which is shkita, lishmo, zrika, shlishmo. But you have both makshavot in the shkita. That should be kosher as well. And we know that's not the din, it's pasul. And therefore that's problematic for this statement of Rabbi Bon Bar Chia b'shem Shmuel Bar Abba. In addition to that, Amar Rabbi Abba Mari, is a fifth generation Amora, says, I have another question. Man Amar b'shtika kasher. Your whole assumption over here is that when he does it lishmo and shlo lishmo, it's as if he was silent. And if he's silent, you're assuming that it is kasher. Who says that? Onemar b'shtika pasul. How do you know that silence is kasher by this type of Pesach that you bring shar yimot ha-shana? Maybe silence is pasul. You made an assumption that gave you your din. Your assumption was, well, if you did it silently, you said nothing, it would be kasher. And then he went and said, okay, then when he does it, lishmo and shalo lishmo, it's the equivalent of being silent. So we already, the first question was against this idea of lishmo and shalo lishmo should be like shtika, because we have another case where lishmo and shalo lishmo does not turn out to be kasher. So therefore, we had a question on that premise. The second question is, even if you say that you're right, that that is like shtika, who says shtika is kasher? You made an assumption that if you shechted a Pesach, Shari Motor Shana, that it's kasher, it's a shlamim. Who says that's true? It could be that shtika is pasul. You'd have to first determine that before you made your second step. And I don't know what that is. Shtika could be pasul, shtika could be kasher. We don't have a resolution to that issue, and we need to resolve that before we ever get to your statement. Okay, we'll stop over here.